Sorry about the long intro there, but having a little trouble with the computer once again here this evening, and try to avoid that feedback. Hello, good evening. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, checking in this evening with some scores, a score, I should say, from the D2 North Girls Soccer Finals, which are over now. The game is over. And the Danvers Falcons have won by a score of 1-0 over Winchester. So we'll get that right out of the way. Going to have a report. Bill is filing some game video, game audio right now with the Danvers High School coach Jim Hinchin. And we hope to have that interview coming up here in a little while. And then Bill will have a post with videos and all the game information for you right here on MSO News Sports in just a little while. So this is North Shore Sports Night Live. And again, sorry for the shaky start there, but that happens sometimes. We have a pretty full lineup tonight. Going to tell you about a lot of football and other stuff as well. We'll talk to Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. We'll check in with Salem football coach Matt Bouchard. And it'll be great to bring back old friend Lou Ciccatelli of Revere High School football. And we'll talk with Steve Krause of the Daily Item as well. So all that's coming up here on North Shore Sports Night. Tim is off tonight. I do want to mention something that I just saw on, I don't know where it was, a tweet or Facebook or wherever it was, but I don't know if you've been listening to sports radio lately, but there's some weird stuff going on. And, you know, what is it? One of the Boston stations is a guy who talked about, let's see, he talked about rooting for the wall at NASCAR, and he talked about Roy Halladay, the plane crash, that he got what he deserved, although that's not what he really meant to say. And then I got a tweet here from a friend of mine who said that on the other channel, the other sports channel, one of the guys says, what's wrong with you? And then the other guy says, well, maybe I have a brain tumor. Maybe I'll die. Maybe I have a brain tumor. Maybe I'll die. I can't even say it right. Brain tumor. And the absurdity of sports radio around here baffles me. Now, yeah, admittedly, I'm not a kid, and I'm not a millennial. But one of the things as a former educator we've always tried to do, Bill, me, Tim, Marty, the whole crew, Paul Ingram, everybody we work with, is promote the positive. And I don't get it. I don't get it when one of the sports talk show hosts on the Nitwit Radio was, I didn't coin the phrase, by the way, Ben Goodhue said, he texted me and said, I like the phrase, but that came from Shaughnessy, Dan Shaughnessy at the Boston Globe. And I notice he doesn't say it anymore because he's on one of the stations now. But one of the things that bothers me is the lack of civility, of total lack of civility. It's one thing to be in a bar room with a couple of guys and you're drinking beers or whatever and you're loaded and you call an athlete a nitwit or you call an athlete a name. That's one thing. But when you have the power to reach tens of thousands of people, including impressionable young people, to say constantly about a professional athlete, he sucks! He sucks! It's beyond me. So, I'm swearing off of Boston Sports Radio. I will tell you that right now. I do have a lot of respect for a few of the guys on there, but so much of it just turns my stomach, and I can't listen to it anymore. I do enjoy the interviews, but the 24-hour sports cycle, I just don't think there's enough. Maybe sports is something you're not supposed to talk intelligently about. I don't know. But anyway, it really bothers me, and I'm swearing off of Nitwit Radio, and I'm going to the alternative. There are lots and lots of good internet sites with sports that give you lots of good information, and I'm all for that. And the thing that I always remember, a long time ago, when I first started in radio at WESX, I was really happy to have the job. I was very excited to have the job at WESX. But I do remember that, you know, it's a 1,000-watt station, and at the time there were 9,000 combined radio and TV stations in the country. And a friend of mine said, he said, you know what? But there were only 9,000. And he said, and you're one among them. You're one person at the station. And he said, you know, if there are 25 players on a baseball team in the major leagues, and there are 32 players in each team, or excuse me, 32 teams and 25 players in each team, and you're the 25th player on the last place team, you're still in the major leagues. So I take that to heart, and I think when I'm sitting in the stands covering a game, I was at Marblehead one night recently, and Beverly was playing there, and there was someone in the stands who pointed out, not Beverly, Danvers was playing there, who pointed out one of the Danvers kids, and really talk trash about the Danvers kid to me and asked me if I knew the kid, what a hotshot he was in a showboat. And I said, you know, I don't know the kid, but I know he's a high school student. He's trying as hard as he can. That's all I said. Then I went and I checked with the coach, and I got the background out of the kid, and it's an amazing story. So I don't understand how people can get up in the stands and you pay $5 to go to a high school game and trash the kids. It's beyond me. So I don't know what your thoughts are, and, you know, we don't have the open phone lines here, but you can always give us your thoughts at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. We try to promote the positive. We did get a very nice email this week from the parents of one of the players in the area, and we, in fact, are going to feature that young man coming up very soon. So I appreciate that. Appreciate all the positive comments. And, of course, it's okay to critique us. I don't mind negative comments. But you understand what I'm saying here. The unabated and unabashed and unfiltered trashing of athletes, I've had it. And you know what? I think it comes from the top down. I think it comes from the orange is the new black guy down there in Washington, D.C. The orange is the new weird, not orange is new black. That's a TV show. Orange is new weird. I don't get it. I guess it's we become a society where it's okay to trash anybody anytime at anything, and I'm not going for it. Sorry about that. I do make mistakes. I do screw up. Well, that's for sure. Ask the kids I've had over the year at Closter High School over the years. All right, enough of that. I'm off the soapbox. We're going to have a good positive night here. Lots of great stuff happening. We saw some fabulous football games over the weekend. Sadly, and I do mean sadly, all of our teams, our North Shore teams, came up just short. Just short. Hamilton Wenham, tremendous effort over the weekend, and they came up just short. That was one of our broadcast games over the weekend. Same thing for Marblehead on Friday night. Came up just short. I mean, just so, it missed it by that much. So, you know, we're not, and Lynn English, same thing. Lynn English didn't quite make it. I was hoping all those guys, all those teams would get to go to the Super Bowl, but it just didn't quite work out. So, anyway, Melrose, a little bit better than Marblehead on Friday night. And so it goes. So we'll talk about some of those games and other things as well. We'll try to accentuate the positive, as we've said. And we'll get to our first interview coming up with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. So stay with us. This is msonewsports.com. And this is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
We're back live now with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. And coach, how are you?
I'm great. You guys?
Excellent, excellent. Tim's not here tonight, coach. I don't know where he is, but he's he's resting somewhere. I don't know.
I got you.
I don't know, Jeff. An amazing football season, and you guys, what are you at 500 now?
Yeah, we're 5-5.
All right, so you have a terrific chance now to finish above 500, and I don't know, give me a report card on your season, if you would, coach.
Well, I think you have to break it down and in the different phases. You have like your regular season, which I'd give us probably about a C. You know, making the postseason would be good, and we had two wins in the consolation round, so probably about a B. And then hopefully Thanksgiving, if we get a victory, that'll be an A. So we're somewhere around that, I would say, C+, B- range overall.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, let's talk about the A stuff. You guys with a nice win over the weekend. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, it was. We played Tech Blossom Academy on Thursday night, and I think our kids thought it was going to be kind of the same as it was the week before against O'Brien. where we were lucky enough to have things go our way, where we scored 28 points in the first quarter. This game was a little different, and we warned them all week that Tech Boston is a little bit different. You know, matchups are slightly different, and they were in a different style of an offense than O'Brien did. And it was only 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, and we had stalled inside the goal line, and we actually fumbled the ball in the red zone. So we were 0-2 to start the game in the red zone. So it took us a while to kind of get back on track, and we finally, I think it was 27-6 at the half. You know, so after that, we kind of settled down. But that first quarter was not how we as coaches wanted it to go.
Jeff, your offense scored a lot of points this season, and your defense gave up some points. But, man, when you win five of those games, to me, knowing the situation, it indicates that, okay, you're overmatched in some of those games because of the size of the school you're up against. But when you're playing someone in your ballpark, you know, in your weight category, you guys do pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, we're still against our own division, and we lost to Nantucket, and we lost to St. Mary's. I think the combined score there was 32-44, so 64-7. That's not good in Division Seven. You know, our only win in Division Seven this year was the against who was it? O'Brien, because Tech Boston actually was a Division Eight team.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not doing great. It looks, you know, yeah. I mean, we Amesbury, their numbers were down a little this year, and they had some young players starting, so that one looks a little better than it did last year when they were a really senior-heavy team and just kind of took it to us in the rain up there. But, it's nice to have, when you play teams have the same problem as you, and we have mentioned this before, when
yep.
We each of us only have 29 guys, so we all have to play the same guys, you know, you're not having whole new defense come in or guys that are playing D-line not playing offense, you know, that's kind of where we get run down. You know, there's a couple games where we were pretty close. We just couldn't pull it out at the end because you said nothing left in the tank.
Right. Well, I want to talk about that in a minute, but you know, and the thing I do want to say too, and I mentioned to Phil Stacy the other night at the Hamilton Wenham game was, or it might have even been the Marblehead game. I don't even remember now, but it was, you know, you mentioned St. Mary's being in the same weight class as you guys are the same division, and I, you know, as a public school teacher, I certainly respect and love the kids who go to the Catholic schools. They're terrific, but it's just not you're not on the level playing field. So I'll just say that. So don't, you know, it's never to me a bad thing when you end up playing those schools and competing, but end up on the wrong end of it. But coach, you know, one of the things that I've kind of avoided this season, and I don't know why, is we haven't talked about Robbie a lot. We talked about all the support staff, but tell me a little bit about what he's meant for your team.
Well, I mean, he's our offense, and he's the heart and soul of the offense and heart and soul of the defense, and a great competitor, a great kid. He's smart. I mean, he's the kid that you want. You know, he's the kid that you hope if you have a daughter, she brings him home on a first date. You know, like that's the guy you want knocking on your door, you know.
Yeah. What kind of a running style does he have?
He would be, you know, he's just a downhill style runner. He's a one cut and get vertical again. He, you know, every once in a while when we watch film, he likes to think he's like a Deion Lewis type running back, shake and bake out in the open field. But
wow,
he's more like a LeGarrette Blount, just get in the open field and run somebody over. And that's done very well. You know, he's done very well doing it that way.
Jeez, that's a good combination.
I know.
Coach, what about the numbers? We've talked about it, you know, off the record, and I talked with Tony Zerilli the other day. But, you know, you look at Winthrop, and it's the same thing. They just don't have any. You know, Winthrop could be losing big or losing or winning big, and they can't put any substitutes in. Gloucester's the same way. You guys are the same way. Hamilton Wenham is down in numbers. And, what's the solution, Jeff? And do you think we're headed for a bad place?
I just think that with all the negative press that the sport's been getting, it's everywhere. I mean, it's not just, I mean, we notice it more here because we're in it, and we have all these towns. And where I'm from, it's more regional schools, so you don't really have a drop-off in numbers every year, at least in New Jersey where I'm from. But here, every town has a school, has a football team, where I'm from, three or four of these towns would all be together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Manchester Essex, even though it's a regional school, but that would be like one district that would be going to like my high school that I went to. You know, there's 1,500 kids, 2,000 kids that went to my high school, you know.
Right.
You have a much bigger pool to choose from.
Yeah. Well, I I don't know. I mean, there are co-ops in other sports, and I just wonder if football might end up doing that a little bit more. And, you know, the thing is, too, you look at especially the Cape Ann League. Now, you know, I don't consider Manchester Essex to be a co-op because they're two tiny towns, and you don't have a big pool to draw from to begin with. But, you know, a school like Masconomet, a school like Pentucket, they've got, you know, a pretty good talent pool.
Oh, yeah. You got three towns, you almost 1,500 kids, and even, you know, Pentucket has just around 1,000 kids, 800 to 1,000 kids to choose from. So, yeah, I just think that's what's, you know, I think everything goes in cycles, right? So I feel like at some point, once they start realizing, you know, all this new research with head injuries, CTE, and, you know, now there are some head doctors and brain surgeons saying that football isn't as bad as we thought it was. So I think when you get some more research on, you know, when other athletes start donating their brains, mm-hmm. they can see that other sports are causing, not just football, yeah, or other activities or other things that people are doing.
It's weird you should say that, because
the numbers will go back again.
I look back. I don't want to. I just wonder about the research on this and if they're missing something. And I say this with a very uneducated point of view. But I know that I come from a time. You know, I've been knocked out two or three times playing sports, and I've made it to this age. You know, I've gotten this far.
Yeah.
And I'm up
yeah.
there. And, you know, my contemporaries have too, and I know, you know, I got some friends who played hockey and football, and hell, they've been knocked out a hell of a lot more than me, and they're all fine. Obviously, that's not the same level as what we're talking about here, but we all played high school sports. So I don't know. I'm hoping you're right. I'm hoping some more research will shed some more light on this thing. Jeff, let's talk some positive stuff now. This is a terrific, wonderful time of year coming up. And what's on the agenda for you guys? How do you look at Thanksgiving preparation now with the team? Because most of the hard work has been done, and, you know, you got a big rivalry game coming up now.
Yeah, we always said, you know, Thanksgiving is its own season. So right now, it's 0-0. Like, even if the crazy thing is that this is second time back-to-back years that we're both 5-5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, if this game, if you can't get excited to win, one, beat your rival, mm-hmm. and two, you have a chance for a winning record, then you just don't have a pulse, you know, one of those type of deals. But, we have a long time. So, like, we gave the kids off a couple days because we played Thursday. I gave them Friday, Saturday off. Sunday, they actually had to go to Marblehead High School to cheer on our youth football team. They
okay.
won the Super Bowl. I think it was the C team.
Wow, yep.
They beat Marblehead High School 12-0, or the junior highs, the junior, whatever mm-hmm. they're called over there, Marblehead. So it was good. Our kids were there cheering them on. The little kids were going excited. It was a good moment for those kids to see the high school kids cheering them on.
Way cool.
They
way
won
cool.
the Super Bowl.
And, all right, how do you see Georgetown?
They're good. They can throw the ball really well. I think I was looking at some of their statistics last week. They got a quarterback who's over, I think he's about 1,300 yards passing or 1,200 yards passing. He's got like 15 touchdown passes. They got a receiver who's, I think because of last week, he's over 1,000 yards receiving. He just happens to be the son of Max Lane, former New England Patriot.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Yeah, he's about 6'4", 190 pounds, and catches about anything that's thrown anywhere near him. So it's We got our hands full.
Okay. Well, I'll be over there Wednesday. Hope to see you guys and get a hold of Robbie and the captains. And we want to do a feature with you guys pre-Thanksgiving for our football show.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Okay. All right, Jeff, I appreciate it. And we'll see you later on the week.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
That is Jeff Hutton, who is the Manchester Essex football coach. And, of course, we were talking about they'll be playing Georgetown in their Thanksgiving Day game. And we're talking also about Robbie Sarmanian, who's, I think he's up over 2,000 yards rushing this year, scored 3 touchdowns in the game this weekend, and had 165 yards rushing. And he has been, well, as Coach Hutton said, he's their offense. So you can't say much more than that about a young athlete on your team. So that's pretty cool. Well, I want to remind you, the Danvers girls soccer team has won. They beat Winchester 1-0 tonight. They will be going to the state championships next weekend. And it is, I guess they were there last year, didn't quite finish on top. But Mackenzie Gilmore pitched the shutout today, 1-0 or 1-0, whatever, however they say it, Danvers over Winchester. And we will see if we can do that right now. Bill Newell has sent along a report, or at least an interview with the Danvers coach Jim Hinchon. And let's see if we can get that to work. I'm not sure. This is a new thing I'm trying here, so let's see if we can get it to work. I'll give it a shot right now. See if we can adjust the levels here.
Soccer coach Jim Hinshine.
I think our schedule has really helped us this year. I mean, we had to play Beverly three times, Peabody twice, played Andover, North Andover, Brookline, Reading, Marblehead twice, Swampscott twice. I mean, outside of maybe five games, every game was like a 2 or 1 goal game. We were just tested every game, which was great for us. And you know, we knew that would pay off when we would play the Arlingtons and the Winchesters that come from the Middlesex League. So, you know, the schedule has definitely helped us. I feel great for these girls. I mean, they're just such a pleasure to be around. They have so much personality, so much character. Every practice is awesome. I mean, it's the type of team that you just look forward to going to practice every day. They work hard and they have so much fun. It's a good team. Just proud to be a part of it, I guess.
Great goaltending from McKenzie, especially down the stretch. He had a couple of
They put a lot of pressure on late. You know, that happens. You know, you got a one-goal lead, and you're just trying to hang on any way you can. And, you know, you're adding an extra defender and doing this and doing that. And they got some balls on her. And, you know, in this wet condition, she had great hands every time. And she was, you know, she's been a great keeper for us all year. And she came up big. She did a really nice job, especially late in the game.
Riley Baker in that spot. I mean, just to finish there. Probably not maybe who you would have expected.
I picked her to score the first goal. Riley's had a great year. She's had another all-star year for us. And, you know, she took it to another level here. She's extremely skilled, and she plays hard every game. We move her around a lot of different positions in the midfield. And I believe she started that play, too, if I'm correct. She had in the midfield, made a nice diagonal ball, and then got forward. But, I'm not surprised at all, but great to see her step
Abby
up.
Abby on the other side to kind of take the initial shot. I thought Abby was great when Hannah wasn't out there.
Yeah, you know, you don't keep Hannah or Abby off the field for very long, just for maybe 2 minute breaks here and there just to get a drink and catch their breath. But Abby was just all over the place tonight.
Her runoff in the middle, I mean, it seemed like they just really weren't getting much going the other way, and yeah. I think that starts in the middle.
It's something Lydia's been doing all year for us. I mean, a lot of teams play more midfielders in the middle than we do, and we can afford to do it because we have Lydia Runnels. I mean, she's a great attacker, but what she really does best is she plugs that middle. And anytime another team gets possession, she eats up that middle. And she's not afraid to compete for head balls, 50-50 balls. I mean, she's terrific, and she's a warrior in the middle.
It seemed like their most dangerous stuff early was on the corners. Was there anybody in your mind that was, like, you know, really on point on the positioning defensively that kind of stood out?
Well, I mean, we knew which – how many players that they have. They're a very offensive team. They score a lot of goals. And, you know, I thought our back four did a really nice job at, you know, not only on the corners, but just any time they came in our end, picking up their man and trying to delay them while we got other players back. Keshi and Erica played most of the game in the middle. Yeah, you know what? I don't think I took either of them out. I think they played the entire game in the middle, which is rare. Usually I move some people around. And then the outside players were Sarah McCarriston, Abby Klickstein, and Becky Henyon. We rotated those girls. But, Erica and Madison Pesci were amazing in the middle.
They dominated possession in that first half, especially shots on goal. Do you think that opened up anything for that goal in the second
half? Yeah, I mean, I felt it was kind of frustrating because we did control play that first half. We had the wind at our backs. We knew that. And we had so many opportunities, so many corner kicks, so many chances on net that we just didn't take advantage of. And we talked about at halftime, you know, it's our own fault if we don't take care of this game. We had so many opportunities, and you don't know how they're going to come out the second half. And they were a much better team the second half. But I think the girls were hungry. We reminded them just before they took the field in the second half what it was like last year when we didn't win this game. And it's, you know, it's not an easy spot to be in. It's great to get here, but you know, you want to win it, and it's been a while since we've won a North title, so it feels pretty good.
2008 was the last one, I think.
2009, I believe. I think it's 2009.
So as good as this one feels, I mean, there is still one more.
Yeah, we still have never won a state title. We've only been to one state title. One of my coaches was a freshman on that team, and we lost in overtime to Belchertown. So we'll be ready. You know, we're either going to get Notre Dame of Hingham or Medway. I think they play tomorrow. You know, and if they're making the state final, they belong there, as we do. So, we'll be ready. We'll hopefully take advantage of the opportunity. But, you know, I'm happy for the girls to at least get us to that point.
Thank you very much. All right, that's Danvers girls soccer coach Jim Hinshin. Thank you to Bill Newell for being there. Bill will have posts and videos. He'll have the post up in just a little while. You can check it out very soon here. He'll have the post up, and he'll also have videos from that game. The Danvers girls soccer team winning the Division II North title 1-0 over Winchester, and the shutout by Mackenzie Gilmore. So congratulations to Danvers, and thank you for the great report, Bill. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a short break here. We'll come back, and we'll be checking in with Salem football coach Matt Bouchard on MSO News Sports.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com. Or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Salem football coach Matt Bouchard now is our guest. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO. How are you doing?
Thanks for having us. Doing great.
Very good, very good. Now, listen, I'm not going to go back and look at negative stuff, but obviously your boys rebounded nicely after a very tough loss to Hamilton Wenham.
Yeah, without question. I think it's been one of the characteristics that has really kind of driven us to have the success we've had this year. I think we've been in every game in the fourth quarter of the season, and unfortunately, there's been a few games where it hasn't gone our way, but our guys have done a great job responding, and, you know, sitting in November undefeated going into Thanksgiving is a good position to be in.
Tell us about the game this weekend over Arlington Catholic.
It was, obviously Arlington Catholic came in here. I mean, I think they were third and fourth in our division, so it's a playoff team, and, our preparation kind of was in line with that. I think our guys did a really nice job kind of understanding the importance of the game. And it was a cold one, but I think those guys came out, and we came out fairly strong on both sides of the ball. I think defensively we were able to control the line of scrimmage. And then offensively, Gaskins had a number of big plays to kind of get the ball rolling.
You know, I talked to the Hamilton Wenham kids after the game, and they were saying, it might have been Cam Peach, was saying how impressed he was with Vinny on both sides of the ball. He plays so hard and plays so many plays. But I noticed in the statistics here, what did he have? Over 200 yards and only 14 carries. So that's a good day's work.
Yeah, without question. I think that one of the things with Vinny, if talked to him, he's one of those guys that always kind of makes it an effort to make sure that he recognizes the guys around him. And, after that game, I talked to him a lot. There was definitely a few guys on the offensive line that, had stellar games, like Malcolm Bautista. He's only a sophomore playing guard for us right now, and just doing a phenomenal job.
Well, I think it's fantastic the year that you guys have had, and especially, I think, Coach, when you come in and you want to install your own program, you have your own vision, and you're working with what's left from before and the new kids coming in, and you sort of the thing about respect, you have to earn it, and looks to me like you've earned it with this 6-4 record, and the kids have got to be feeling really good about themselves.
Well, I appreciate that, and I would say that the kids got to go out and do it, and I've spoken to a few people after our last game. One of the big things for me is that the culture that we have at Salem High School right now is indicative of our current leaders that are there, but I think that the culture was developed over the last few seasons, and there's a lot of guys that have graduated over the last couple of years that have invested a great deal. Didn't necessarily show in the win-loss record, but it developed the foundation that we needed to actually get to where we are today. So there's a lot of appreciation in our locker room for the guys that come before us, and I know that the younger guys are really buying into to you know the culture and the level of leadership that the older guys are instilling right now.
That's cool. I have to ask you, and it's just, this is always a tricky question to ask, but over the course of the season, is there a kid you could mention who maybe isn't the, and I'm not going to say negative, but is there a kid you can mention who might be younger, who might not have been starting, who might not have even had an easy time learning what the thing is all about, but he's worked hard, and he's been able to make some contribution that maybe has helped the other kids out, and they recognize it. I guess unsung hero is the word that comes to mind, but is there anybody that you could mention at this time? I know you probably have more than one, but has anybody come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that on both sides, we got younger guys that are stepping up and older guys that have stepped up. So from an older guy perspective, I would say Johnny Rodriguez. He's somebody that, has always never got the spotlight shined on him, but he's somebody that offensively for us, he started center for us. And on defense, he was our will linebacker. He's somebody that, kind of Salem tough. He really gets it. He's a little undersized, but always kind of performing better every time he's out there. And I think that he's taken on a quiet leadership role. He's really kind of set a standard for a lot of the play that's going on out there with the younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then for younger guys, I'd say Sam O'Fury. He's a freshman. Right now, he's actually worked himself into a linebacker spot. He started the last 2 weeks at linebacker.
Wow.
And he's performing very, very well. Is like a sponge, really working hard every day to kind of get better. And so it's good. Future's bright.
Excellent, excellent. Well, now this is the last week and a half or so of working with the seniors, and I know you're familiar with Beverly Salem, and no matter what the records, no matter who's on which team, this is like the Rose Bowl of the North Shore.
Without question. I mean, as you just alluded to there, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a player at Salem High School and partake in this rich tradition. You know, there's not too many schools that start their rivalry back in, 1890.
Yep.
So, there is, without question, a lot of history there. And I think that, these last couple of years, even though, the games have been a little bit lopsided, I'll tell you, every pep rally, every event that I've been to leading up to Thanksgiving, the level of energy, coming from both squads as well as just the community is always overwhelming, and this year is no different. Already it's only been a couple days since our last game, and I can't tell you how many calls and, how many people are excited about this coming Thanksgiving.
In terms of Thanksgiving, Matt, what comes to mind for you? What is the what do you look forward to associated with football, associated with the day and so on? What's it like going into the game, and what's it like for a coach during that game?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things. I think for me, or actually any one of my staff members, I think just seeing the evolution of a young man when he comes in as a freshman and kind of going through, his high school years and overcoming obstacles, whether it be academically, athletically, or socially, and kind of finding his way through high school and, to come to the and really that Thanksgiving Day game in a lot of cases is that culmination of all that hard work. So, it's one of those things you kind of sit back for a minute, and there's moments in the game where you kind of take a step back and you really look at what some of these kids are doing and where they were. I think that's probably one of the more rewarding pieces of that day.
Mm-hmm. And if I ask you, Coach, if I ask you to pick out something that jumps right into your head when I say Salem football 2017, what is it?
It's going to be a big, hard-fought battle up front, and I think it's what Thanksgiving football should be all about. So we're at Salem looking forward to that matchup up front, and go Witch.
Do you have my final question is sometimes a team, when you have 25, 30, 50, 100 kids, there's sort of a personality or a character of the team that you could describe. Is there any way to describe your kids collectively this year?
First word that comes to my mind, I would say, is response. We talked about it earlier, but I think, one of the defining traits of a team, any program or any successful business or anything, when you look at things that are striving to be successful, that, a success is not a straight line to the top. There's always going to be kind of peaks and valleys. And I think that, for really to get a program to a point where you can have consistency in your program and really kind of, strive to be great every year, you know, you have to have a group of guys that are willing to respond to challenges that they're that are put in front of them, because there are going to be roadblocks every year that are going to be put in front of you. And this group is, you know, collectively a group that understands the importance of responding, understanding that they need to, you know, do the right things when it's always the hardest. And I think that I say that would define them, but more importantly, I think going forward, I think that's a critical piece of the puzzle moving forward for Salem High School to be consistently, you know, successful.
Well, what I love about it, Coach, and I work with Paul Ingram for 40 years at Gloucester High School, and then you know, he's been up in as our football analyst. But what I have learned, and it's not a cliche, is that football is a microcosm of life, and you guys as coaches and staff, and of course the parents involved, but you know, you do teach some life lessons, and everything you've talked about tonight is all about that. So it seems like you've got kids who are bound for success, whether it's on the athletic field or not. That's really cool.
And that's our goal every day, you know. And to be honest, at the end of the day, the wins and losses typically, you know, end up coming according to how they kind of respond and act in everything that they do. You know, I really feel that in individual success, you can't be successful in one thing in your life. You know, if you're a successful person, you're gonna find ways to be successful in the things that you're doing. So I'm really happy to see where our program is right now, because we got a lot of guys that are doing the right thing everywhere, and obviously that's translating to on the field.
I didn't do well in philosophy 101, man, but I got to sit down and listen to you more often. That's good stuff. I like it. I love it. If you're a successful person, you're successful in more than one thing. I got to remember that, because that goes a long way. I love it.
Perfect.
All right. Coach, I know Coach Morenci over on the other side is getting ready for you guys, so all I can say is good luck. And by all means, have a wonderful, fun week, and we'll talk to you probably before the game.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Matt Bouchard with some words of wisdom. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. People who are successful, it's not just one thing. You're successful in a lot of things. And if you're successful in one thing, then you can certainly be successful in many other things. That's pretty good. And I do like that. It's not just X's and O's. Matt Bouchard, his team now 6-4, and one more game to go, and they will be up against the Beverly Panthers, of course, and that is one of the longest-lasting rivalries in the state of Massachusetts, as Coach was saying, goes back to the late 1800s. All right, we're going to take another break, come back with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. You're listening to MSO News Sports, and we'll be back after, where am I? After a very quick break, if I can find what I'm looking for, and I think I have it. We'll be right back.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we're back now with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. And, Coach, it has been too long. I apologize. We missed connections a few times. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Always good to hear your voice. Always good to be on, and you know, appreciate any chance you give all of us to talk about high school football.
Well, Lou, I was just talking to Matt Bouchard over at Salem, and, man, he's so proud of his kids and the kids who've gone through the program from freshman on. And talking to Jeff Hutton earlier on how the numbers are down and how maybe we can get kids back into football and grow the numbers. But part of the problem, like in Gloucester, is the overall population in the city, the overall population in schools is down, and Gloucester is under 800 kids now. So how are things at Revere in terms of population, student population at the high school?
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Tony about that too. We're okay. We're okay, believe it or not. We had 32 freshmen. I think we retained 28 of them. So our numbers are okay. We probably got in total close to the high 60s.
Okay.
The numbers are good, but what you're talking about is worrisome. It scares me to think where football's going sometimes. It's it's really scary because a lot of the other programs are very, very low on numbers.
Yeah, and I know there are a lot of distractions. You know, it's social distraction, it's family commitments, it's college commitments and all that stuff. And of course, a lot of sports is getting some negative publicity around different things. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the good stuff. And, Coach, tell me about the win over the weekend. Nice win for you guys.
Yeah, much-needed win. Big win against Malden. Good football team. Kind of the same path we're going this year. We're a very young football team. Got a freshman quarterback who's going to be good down the road. And right now, at 2-8, so any win's a good win. We're going through growing pains, but we played a pretty good football game tonight. We played very, very well on defense. We had about 6 turnovers that we created, a block punt, 4 interceptions, and when you can do that on defense, usually good things happen, and it was a big win for us, so pretty happy about it.
Lou, tell me about the defense, because, you know, I'm looking at the stats, and, you know, with a freshman quarterback, it stands to reason that you had trouble scoring overall, you know, with only the 100 points scored. But your defense looks like it's played pretty well, too. So who are your leaders out there?
Yeah, we have played well. My captain, Eddie Ballou, he's one of my leaders, and Jimmy Kiosis, my 2 seniors. I only got 6 seniors this year. But those two are a big, big part of, you know, some of the success we've had on defense. Frank Sims, my junior nose guard, and Devin Mathias, my junior tackle. Mm-hmm. Pretty young defense. Most of them will be back. And they've played they played pretty well this year.
What's the best thing that's happened, Coach, in terms of learning for these guys? Because when you have young kids like that, you know, I'm guessing sometimes they make the same mistakes over and over again. Young, really young kids. Is that being corrected, or was that a problem at all anyway?
No, it's, you know, a lot of mistakes early on. We're still learning. Like I said, it's a big learning curve for both the offense and the defense. But I think the biggest thing that sticks out, you know, for us, Rick, is you know, even though we're 2-8, the kids are showing up for practice.
Mm-hmm.
They're there all the time. They're trying their hardest. They're watching film. They're going to meetings. They're doing all the right things they're doing. Even though it's a struggle this year, their attitude is where it needs to be, and I think that's the most important thing.
Coach, do you think that playing football is different from other sports because, and I'm going to use the word violence advisedly here, because of the violence, because you're in the trenches, you're side by side with a teammate, and, you know, what you do depends on what the other guy does and so on and so on, whereas in other sports you don't have that that pounding, that physical pounding, so you're really in the trenches with these guys in football, and, you know, when it works, when they have the right attitude, win, lose, or draw, it seems to draw football players closer together than in other sports.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, we say all the time, it's about building relationships that last forever. I tell the kids that all the time. You know, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. We talk about that, too. And it's about sacrifice. It's about putting in long, long days. And we're a family. We preach that just like most guys do in their programs. Because the truth of it is these kids spend more time with me and my coaching staff than they do their family.
Yep.
You know, a good 5 months, 6 months with the off season. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. It's very demanding, and you know, especially when you're struggling in a season, and kids still have a good attitude, and they're still there, and they want to learn and get better, and I mean, you can't ask for more.
I'm glad to hear that, Coach, and I know you guys are going to make some noise next year for sure with all the young guys coming back. Lou, what about the Thanksgiving game now? What do we project? What are we looking at there?
Two teams. I mean, both pretty much, I think, even Steven and talent. I think they're down a little bit this year as well as we are. And, again, it doesn't matter if we were 10-1, and it wouldn't matter if they were.
Who are you playing this year, Lou? I'm totally drawing a blank here.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Winthrop Vikings.
Winthrop. Okay. Yep.
That's our big rivalry. And, you know, and again, we say it every year, throw the records out. It doesn't really matter. It comes down to one game. And we both know, as coaches and the kids, you know, whoever wins this game, it's going to most certainly give us some momentum for the off season next year. And that's real important. So
absolutely.
Kids know it's important. The coaches know it's important. We're working hard already, believe it or not. And just trying to prepare ourselves. This is a big game for us, and one that we really need to win. So we're going to work as hard as we can
Final question, Lou. What's special about being a coach during this time of year, Thanksgiving? Because it's always it's something special in Eastern Massachusetts to have these games. And what's it mean to you?
Been doing it a long time. So for me, it's you know, it's about obviously my football family, including my coach and staff. And again, it's about meeting new kids every year. Again, building relationships and hopefully winning, setting goals, you know, all those good things. And, you know, so for me, it's Thanksgiving, not only because I'm a football coach, is probably, has always been my favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great holiday. I get to see my kids. Everyone will be back home, my in-laws. So a lot of family values, not just in football, but the Ciccatelli family also.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Lou, again, I apologize for not catching up with you sooner, but I wish you the best of luck, and we need to chat during the off season and just talk some sports in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, can't wait to, and thanks for thinking of me, and you have a nice holiday. And
well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Lou. Maybe we can get together for a little lunch at some point. Anyway, thanks, Coach. Good luck, and we will talk to you later.
Much appreciated, Rick. Thank you.
Thanks, Lou. Take care. That is Lou Ciccatelli, who is the Revere High School football coach, and been a little remiss. I missed connections with him earlier in the season. We talked to Coach. Haven't talked to Coach Driscoll enough either. Coach Sean Driscoll over at Winthrop, and I can't say enough about these guys. The coaches we talked to have been so nice to us. They do such a great job across the spectrum in here in on the North Shore, and it's an incredibly hard job. And they are surrogate dads. They and the rest of their coaching staff. So it's hard. And the parents who have supported these kids, good luck to you guys. Congratulations. And I hope it's just a great Thanksgiving Day. That's very special here. Okay, what do we have left here? I think I got to call Steve, don't I? Yep, it's that time. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk with Steve Krause, Salem Evening News. Salem Evening News. God. He's going to say, when did I get transferred? Steve is the sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn. Okay, so let's get that straight. All right, so we'll be back in just a second here. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night, and I just kind of ramble on when Tim's not here.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
All right, it's been too long. We bring back Steve Krause, the sports editor of the Daily Item. Hi, Steve.
How are you, Rick?
I'm fine. Doing very well. Happy anniversary to you and your lovely bride.
Well, thank you very much.
All righty, then. Let's get down to business. I don't know where you want to start, but I want to mention I mentioned something about Nitwit Radio earlier in the program, but I'm not going to go back on that because it gets me too upset. But off the top of my head, Steve, the year that Lynn High schools had this fall in sports, especially in football, but in sports in general, has been absolutely superb.
It's unprecedented, Rick. I'm an old man, and did a little research earlier in the fall, and I have never seen
anything like this in all of my years in the business. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable good.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many nice things that happened to. I mean, it's just unfortunate that everybody couldn't win. But you know, the reality of it is that the higher the competition stakes go, the more it becomes, you know, it just becomes harder and harder. And of course, we lost two this weekend in Lynn English and Lynn Tech. But we always, we they've had great games, just great games, particularly the English Tewksbury game, which I had the pleasure of doing color with Bill Newell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a great game. It was tension, and it was well played. Clean, you know, is everything positive and wonderful about high school sports. It's just a shame it had to end with somebody on the losing side.
I think
in this case it was English.
The thing that I'm impressed with so much is the level of competition and the way the games were played this year. I only saw classical in English, but tremendous football and it was good to watch. They played solid football. They played discipline. Both teams, disciplined football, smart football. They played till the last bell. It was just great to watch those kids and the coaches who've worked so hard over the years. Getting the product, getting the results.
Yeah, and it was that way with all four. You know, Lynn Tech, James Runner is a good coach. He knows his stuff, and they had good kids on the team. You know, every now and then, you know, things in a game might get a little chippy, but for the most part, you know, they behave themselves on the field. And there isn't anything at this point you can say about Matt Durgan that hasn't already been said before. You know, his teams are always well disciplined and well coached, and they always play hard. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Matt Durgan. I'm not too sure I'd want him mad at me if I didn't play hard, but he's got the right idea, and he's one of the best coaches around.
I remember a long time ago there was a Super Bowl game at Boston University that Paul Ingram had his Gloucester Fishermen playing at, and they had played a game against Lynn Classical. Might have been the second or third year in a row that was an absolute heartbreaker for Classical. I think Classical was up like two touchdowns late in the game. And Gloucester pulled it up.
I remember that was at that game. Yeah.
Okay, and Gloucester pulled it out. Well, don't you know, here it is, freezing cold at Boston University, and Matt Durgan comes up with a bunch of his players, his captains, and he knocks on Coach Ingram's door with the players in the locker room, and the kids, the Classical kids, and Matt, he was coaching Classical at the time, the Classical kids and Coach Durgan are wishing the Gloucester kids good luck. I mean, that just says everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of a guy he is, you know. He has it in perspective. He always has had it in perspective. And, you know, it's just more of the same with him. And he gets everything he can out of his players. And if they don't win, it's not for lack of trying.
All right, I want to jump to the pros, Steve, because obviously it's nice to see the Patriots back on track. We've got a lot to talk about with the Red Sox. There's nothing to talk about with the Bruins. But good grief, man, has my interest been ignited by these crazy Boston Celtics. What's your opinion?
I don't know how it's going to wind up, but I like this team already. You know, count me as one who thought that the season was over when Gordon Hayward broke his leg. I just didn't think there was any way they could recover from that, you know, but they have, and you know, this rookie that they have there, Jason Tatum,
mm-hmm.
Duke, he's the real deal, or at least he is so far. Al Horford is playing out of his mind. he's playing better than at any point last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, Kyrie Irving, what can you say? He comes as advertised. He's one of the best players in the game.
What I like, Steve, it almost looks like, remember, I don't watch college basketball, but I know a few years ago I was watching, and it was one of those years when Duke was at the top, and Coach K had like 10 guys he could rotate in and out, and they all were interchangeable. They all looked about the same size. You know, they could play all five positions, and it reminds me, this Celtic team reminds me of what that, am I way off base in that?
Except for the fact that I can't stand Duke, but it's not because of anything that Mike Krzyzewski does, because every time it's a close game, they get the calls.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, I appreciate Duke's ability, you know, to do what you just said, to produce winning basketball the right way with people playing within the framework of a team. But, you know, I get a little tired of them getting the calls off.
Well, all right. Well, I do like the way the Celtics, they're very exciting to watch.
Great.
They're fun to watch.
It's been really, really fun to watch so far. They've, you know, and the way they're pulling some of these games out is just unbelievable.
Well, the other thing I like, too, Steve, is defense. They're really playing some defense.
Yeah, when was the last time a team scored over 100 on them?
I don't know. I don't know if they have this year. Have they? Once, maybe?
Yeah, well, the first couple of games.
Yeah, the two games, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, since they started that winning streak, I mean, I was on a cruise for a few of them, but I am hearing that they didn't score 100, the opposition, so I can only assume that it's been 12 games.
Yeah, yeah, it's been great. All right, Steve, what do we look for in the paper this week?
Well, we're going to be, you know, Powder Puff, it's Powder Puff time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. As Ed Sullivan would have said, it's a really big shoe around here. You know, the classical English and Swampship Marblehead Powder Puff games. They're traditionally well attended. I mean, sometimes they're better attended than the boys' games. And it'll be interesting to see how classical does this year. They get some really good seniors. It all depends on whether they want to play with their winter sports on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we're going to be doing a couple of St. Mary's stories and a couple of St. John's Prep stories. St. John's Prep Soccer plays in the state semifinal tomorrow night in Brockton.
Wow, yep.
Danvers girls soccer is going on right now. I don't know how they're doing.
They won. They won 1-0.
They won 1-0. Every soccer game is 1-0.
Yep. They did win 1-0, and yep. They're going on to the state championship.
That's the default score, 1-0.
Okay. Well, hey, if it works for you, that's fine. You know?
Let's see what else. We're just going to try to just gear ourselves up for the weekend and Thanksgiving. And, you know, there's an awful lot to do between now and Thanksgiving. We have a special section coming out next week. You know, we have three different schools, three different rivalries that all have dinners that come up in advance of the game. One of them is the Swampscott Marblehead Gridiron Club, which is always a fun time. I love going to it because I'm usually the youngest guy in the room.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay.
The Wednesday night, as a matter of fact, the Peabody Saugus game dinner is. And then the Tuesday is the captain's luncheon at the porthole for the Lynn schools.
Right, right.
So it's a lot of eating going on.
All right, and it's what's supposed to be this time of year, man. That's why we fast all summer and fall. I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Steve, thanks for your help over the weekend and all the time, and we'll check in with you later on.
Thanks for the gift certificates, Rick. They came in handy.
Oh, good, good, good.
You know,
glad to hear it.
Yeah, we're actually able to enjoy a couple of drinks and a nice meal on your dime, and I always appreciate the fact that your dime is... It was there.
Okay.
Made for a whole lot nicer anniversary series.
Good.
I appreciate that very much, and it was my pleasure. Game with Bill.
Great, great, Steve. Right back at you, man. Thank you. All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, take care, Rick.
Take care, Steve. Yep, Steve Krause, who is the sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn. Okay, so back to that Danvers soccer score. D2 girls finals, North finals. Danvers 1, Winchester 0. Goal scored by Riley Baker. She got the winning goal, and let's see here, Mackenzie Gilmore, the shutout. So they will be going on to the state championship game. So congratulations to Coach Jim Hinchin. You can hear the interview when we put this on demand. But also, Bill Newell will have a post up there. If he doesn't already, it'll be a post right there on our website with game information, game videos, and lots more information as well. Congratulations to the Danvers girls winning the Division II North Soccer Crown. And congratulations to all the coaches. Thanks to Jeff Hutton, Manchester Essex, Salem's Matt Bouchard, Revere's Lou Ciccatelli. Thank you guys for helping us out and all that you do. Thanks to all the coaches and ADs that we work with this year. Me, Tim, Marty, Paul Ingram, we just have a blast doing these games and appreciate and respect all the hard work that the coaching staff and the kids put into this. So hope it's been a successful season for everyone, and we're looking forward to our big Thanksgiving Day games. We'll have more on that coming up on the website. We will be doing two games, and Marty Smith will be at the Beverly-Salem game. I will be at the Gloucester game doing Danvers-Gloucester with Paul Ingram. That will be our live streaming video game at 10 a.m. a week from Thursday. And Bill and Tim will be at Manning Field, and they will be covering Lynn English versus Lynn Classical. Marty will be covering Beverly-Salem for us, so we look forward to that. Meantime, have a wonderful week. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. This is North Shore Sports Night for Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and for the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore. Good night. This is MSONewsSports.com.